Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Another day, another program. Welcome to Call to Freedom. May God bless you with His wisdom in each decision you make, strength in each responsibility you have, success in each endeavor. And oh, so many of you have decisions to make today, from small decisions to large decisions, buying a house or buying a car. God's going to be with you because He wants you to be successful. Enjoy in each commitment, peace in each relationship. Oh, that's so good. And love in everything. You just wrap all the package up with a bow of love, because that's who God is. God is love. It's not even an adjective. God is love. Oh, I'm so happy to know that my Savior, my Redeemer, is the one who knows all about love, because so much of this world is looking for love. Even on the campuses, I was praying for our nation earlier this morning, and it's like Holy Spirit says, they just want something to believe in. They just want something, and I would say someone, to believe in. And that's why they are listening to all this hoax, all these lies, because everyone has a God-shaped vacuum that can only be filled with God's love. So we need to pray for these kids that are rioting. Oh, they should be in the classroom and learning instead of being all full of hate and rage. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I'm so happy to welcome you to Call to Freedom, Kimberly.
Thank you. So good to be with you. And I heard you talking about the kids, and they need to be in the classroom. Unfortunately, they've been in the classroom their whole lives. This is what they've learned, you know. So
yes.
We need to remember that the world does not offer messages of peace in the classrooms, messages of the grace of God and the fruits of the Spirit. And at the same time, God is more than able to exploit the situation. He is raising up a generation who will love Him as He loves us. And you're right, wrapping it all up in a bow of love, that is what God has done. He is the one who has spoken a dream. He has a dream, and that dream is us. Mm-hmm. We are His promised land. We are beloved, and His plan, His dream is going to work. It's God's dream. It's not a man's dream, and it's His plan, and so it will come to pass, and that's what's exciting when we see all of the resistance in the world and people who are complaining and bitter and grumbling about situations in this world and in life. We can look at that and say, we all have to have that season of complaining and grumbling. That's our wilderness season.
That's right.
You know, and we have to have it in order to get to the promised land. But the promised land will happen. It absolutely will.
Yes.
Because God is faithful. It's His dream, and He'll make it come to pass.
That's right. It's like on Wednesday, I introduced the word, the Yiddish word. It comes from Hebrew, kvetch. And a kvetch person, kvetching, he's always kvetching. He's a habitual complainer. Habitual complainer. And this man was citing so many little Jewish mothers are just complaining all the time. Well, you didn't get this right. You don't have this right. Your hair isn't right. Your clothes aren't right. And everything growing up is always complaining. So I'm glad we don't have to look at that anymore. I don't have to be a complainer anymore. His love just continues to mature me into a greater place. And I'm so grateful. Yeah. A place of deliverance. And I was just thinking, Kimberly, where did David get his wisdom to write all these beautiful psalms, to be the king of Israel, and to even be the man that Jesus is called the Son of David? Where did he get his education?
out with the sheep.
Yeah, that's right. Out with the sheep. And we think,
out in nature. You know, Levi had a really hard day on Tuesday. He had to be out in a field by 7 o'clock in the morning, and they were doing a movie. So he's part of a film. Maybe I should say that he's part of a film class. And in the film class, they do an end of year project of recording and videoing a whole short movie. And so they do the bulk of that movie in one day, and then little parts of it on other days. But all day Tuesday, from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And you know, I sent him off with sunscreen. Did he use it? No. So he came back very, very burned.
Miserable.
And it was a really, really difficult, hard day with other people that are not always kind in those situations. People don't know how to be kind all day for how many hours is that? That's 15 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
And what I heard from Levi was that God was there for him. He saw God in all of nature. He was watching how the wind was flowing through really tall grass. And if you've ever seen that, how wind will blow through tall grass, you can see a lot of that through Kansas and the panhandle of Oklahoma. It's so beautiful. The way the wind, it makes it almost look like ocean waves through the grass. And Levi was just declaring God's goodness to him in nature. And I'm sure that's how David must have gained a lot of his wisdom and knowledge, just being out in nature, watching over God's precious little creatures, little lambs, and receiving wisdom from God. You know, sitting in a classroom is not necessarily receiving wisdom from God.
That's right. Yes. We're going through, if you have a Word Power for Every Hour Bible guide, we're in 1 Samuel right now, 22nd, 23rd chapters, and also going through the Psalms that David wrote, which I find so wonderful, so uplifting, and so refreshing, Kimberly, because most of the time when he wrote these Psalms, especially the numerically closer to the 20 and 23 50s, 60s, 70s, you'll find David fleeing for some reason, fleeing from King Saul. King Saul wanted to kill him. It's really interesting how King Saul enjoyed David's music so much that he invited him. It's kind of like if you were invited by the president to come to the White House, and he wants you to play and sing for every meal and also for the special occasions. That's what King Saul had David do. He came to the palace, and he was playing on his harp. But then King Saul heard these women in Jerusalem saying, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s. And wow, he just changed almost immediately with jealousy, with anger, with rage, and even at one point tried to kill David. So we find David fleeing from God in Psalm 57 and going to the caves of Adullam. I don't know if you
Saul, right,
yes.
Right.
When you were with Matthew in Israel last year, did you happen to see what the cave of Adullam, or is it really in the wilderness?
They're all different names at this point, there are so many caves. There's so much wilderness and so many caves that it's difficult to pinpoint a lot of these places. But we did see a huge ravine, an area where it very much looked or appeared. And our guide told us that this could very well be where Saul was on one side of the ravine and David and his men were on the other side. Yes. And they were really separated by this deep ravine. But Saul was pursuing him and trying to catch up with him, trying to find a way across it. Mm-hmm. And so we did get to see an area like that.
Oh, that is so cool. Just think, this little area of land, this little plot of land compared to Saudi Arabia and to Iran. I mean, it's just a drop in the bucket. And the whole world wants this little clump of land. And you say most of it is wilderness.
It really is. God has blessed his people in that place. And what makes it the true promised land is the fact that God himself promised that he would take care of his people in this land. Mm-hmm. The land itself is actually not any different than the land surrounding it. Mm. It's the people in the land who have been blessed by God and taken care of and given great wisdom mm-hmm. in how to care for that land. And in their wisdom, that land has produced. But, you know, even in their wisdom, there's no way that a man can produce fertilizer or something else that would cause trees to bloom three times a year.
Yeah.
They just do that there because it's God taking care of that land and those people. And do you know that land, it's so small, and yet they export a lot of food and a lot of water. It's such a tiny piece of land. How they are able to have that much water, but their desalinization process of the ocean water is, it's unrivaled. No one else can do what they're able to do in the way that they desalinize water, and then they're able to export it as pure drinking water. It's amazing.
You just have the right leadership and the right people. You're right, Kimberly. The right people group together, and great and mighty things can happen. As it was in the caves of Adullam when he was fleeing from King Saul. And here, I love chapter 57, because I enjoyed you singing the chorus a little earlier today. It was so good to listen to that beautiful chorus that we used to sing in church. He starts out by saying, and remember, he's being chased. He just said goodbye to his best friend, Jonathan. So he knows that his whole life right now is changing. And he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in thee, and in the shadow of thy wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me." And then he goes into the fifth verse saying, "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth." I love the way this man praises God. And we need more of them. We need more people like that.
He has a true revelation of God's love for him and how God saw him. Basically, in the wilderness, caring for those sheep, God saw him and anointed him as king when he was still so young. He must have felt so loved and so seen, but realized it wasn't for anything more than just watching over some sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't go to battle. He wasn't anointed king before or after. What I mean is he did not slay Goliath. He didn't do something remarkable in order to be anointed king. He was anointed king just for being a little shepherd boy.
That's right. And it was divine discernment from Samuel and also the voice of God. I sense right here where he was not quiet in his praise and worship. And if you're with a bunch of sheep, probably you can shout and you can praise God and you can do whatever, you know, you'd like to do. A lot of people are quiet in their praise. And here, I'm reading from the message now. David is saying, "Okay, I'm ready, God. So ready, ready from head to toe. Ready to sing, ready to raise a tune. Wake up, soul. Wake up, harp. Wake up, lute. Wake up, you sleepyhead son. I'm thanking you, God, out loud in the streets, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud is a flag to your faithfulness." See, he's as a shepherd boy, seeing a lot of clouds every day. So he's putting together not only what he sees in nature, but what God is telling him in his heart. And he says, "Oh, every cloud is a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. Oh, I love it. I love it.
And I'm sure that he saw, you know, when we look at life and some things that are cloudy to us, that's something that maybe doesn't make sense to us. Maybe there's confusion with those clouds. Clouds are stormy and dark. You know, it darkens the sun. And maybe the way Saul kept coming after him felt cloudy to him.
Yes.
And being able to look up and say, God, you are the one above the clouds. And and I choose to see you above the clouds. Your glory is exalted above the heavens. And being able to give God credit and take his eyes off the clouds of the storm that's on his own horizon. Mm-hmm. That is a marked piece of his character that I believe God saw his ability to do that as a shepherd boy.
Yes.
And really anointed him. And then with God's anointing in him, he had a revelation of love that was so solid. You know, in 1 Samuel 22, that is the chapter that's so sad, where one of the enemies of David, who really told on him, he was a tattletale, and went to Saul and said, I know where David is, just so that David could be caught. Well, Saul asked this man, Doeg, if he would go, he commanded him to slaughter the priests that helped David.
Yes.
And one of them, it was a whole city of priests that were slaughtered with the women and children too.
Yes.
And one escaped. One escaped and came to David and told David everything. And David was so sad, but his revelation of God's love for him was so strong that he was able to blame himself. Mm-hmm. David said in 1 Samuel 22, near the end of the chapter, he said, I knew when I saw that Edomite that he would tell Saul.
Yes.
And I am to blame for all the deaths in your father's house. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. Whoever seeks your life must seek mine also, and it will be my care to guard you. Mm. What a humble man to not even blame Saul, to not blame this Edomite, but to blame himself and say, it is my fault that your father's household is all dead.
That's right.
So stay with me and I will take care of you. That there is love behind that. You know, there is humility and there's love in that. And being able to see such great love, that that man who came to him, that priest who came to him, Abiathar, he was well taken care of for the rest of his life under David's leadership.
Mm-hmm. And isn't one of Jonathan's sons, or akin to Jonathan, didn't David keep him also in his household?
Mephibosheth, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. And he was lame in his foot.
Yes.
And he was at his table at every meal. So David, you're right, David was kind, he was good, but he was also a warrior. God said, you won't carry on and build the temple, your son Solomon will, because you are a man of blood. And so we know that David had kind of almost a melancholy personality, up one moment and full of joy and love, and then fighting the next moment. It's a wonderful thing to know that we can actually measure our emotions and control our emotions.
You know, he was created to be a warrior. God raised him up, you know, with those sheep to defend the sheep, and he did defend them. If there was a lion or a bear that came after them, he killed the lion. He killed the bear.
That's right.
And that's what made him so brave to go up against that Philistine, the Goliath, that giant. He said, I can do this. God has equipped me. So it was God who gave him that warrior personality. Mm-hmm. And he ran with it. Boy, didn't he. And, you know, being able to embrace the personality that we have been given and do what God has called us to do in this life, that's something that we each want to be able to embrace. We can't change ourselves. God has given us a certain personality for a reason and a purpose, and we just keep it submitted to Him. You know, we submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to Him and what He wants for us. David did that. And David, as a warrior, he was always asking God, should I go down and defeat the Philistines?
Yes.
Should I go down and defeat the Amalekites? He was asking God all the time, and God told him, go do it. I'll be on your side. You will defeat them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he was not an infallible man. He committed many, many sins, killed a man, committed adultery. I mean, this man was not perfect in any way, shape, or form. Kind of reminds me of years before of Abraham, when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And God told him, you're going to be a father of many nations. And that man took that faith message from God, that promise, and he lived it out. Sure, he made some mistakes. We all do. But God is so full of love and mercy, Kimberly, that he just went on with the promise that God had given to him, and the promise that God was going to complete that which he had promised to Abraham. So not only with David, but with Abraham. Oh, it's just such great stories in this beautiful book.
Yes. And, you know, that speaks of God's love. The revelation of God's love for us, that needs to really permeate our hearts and our minds. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if that's true, and it is true, we read it in the Bible, and the Bible is truth, then we're all falling short of the glory. We've all sinned. How do we respond to that then? Mm-hmm. What is our response to this sin in ourselves and the sin in others? And I think that's what it comes down to, is how do we respond in it? Because the law came in so that the transgression of man would increase. Romans 5:20 says that. Says the law came so that sin would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more.
Oh, praise God. That is so good.
Yeah. Now, when it says grace abounded all the more kind of sounds like how somebody might talk in King James. But the word there, the Greek word for all the more, is an aggressive forgiveness that we call grace. It is a grace that is more than enough to triumph. It is a grace that overflows in abundance.
Yes.
It's a grace that is multiplied, a grace that is undeserved, but even more powerful than our sin. And that is what's available to us for free from God.
Mm.
It's a free gift from God.
Yes.
There's a literal translation, Young's literal translation, that says that grace overabounds. It superabounds. That's the literal translation of that word. And when we look at how much God loves us and wants us to have this overabundant, superabounding grace in the midst of our weakness, our shortcomings, we fall short, His grace overabounds.
Amen. That's so good. Oh, you were you were telling.
We want to get that revelation like the disciple John got.
Yes.
John referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it's not because he thought he was loved more than the others. He just had a revelation of God's love for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved.
I wonder how many of us say, I am the one that Jesus loves. I am the woman, or I am the man that Jesus loves.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hesitate sometimes to think of that.
Well, you know, we've been taught to love God. We've been told to love God. And the law tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. But human beings cannot do that. See, that's what the law is requiring of us. The law says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. There's no one who is able to do that.
That's right.
And so the good news is grace news. The good news is that we are loved, not because we earned it through keeping the law, but because God loves us with all his heart and mind and soul and strength.
Yes.
He loved us so much that he came into our world and poured himself out just to be with us for all eternity.
That's right.
That is a super abundant, overabounding grace, overabounding love, that God loves us with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. Wow.
Yeah.
If we could get that and really understand that the law is what causes us to recognize our sin, but grace says God loves you. God loves you right here. And believe it. I heard someone say the law condemns the best of us, but grace saves the worst of us.
Oh, yes. That's good. That's really good,
Kimberly. The law condemns us. Mm-hmm. Grace saves us. Yes.
Yes.
And we have a picture of Moses from the Old Testament. He's the one who gave the law. He was not allowed to enter the Promised Land. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. So he had taken Israel all through the wilderness and spent all those years, but he couldn't enter the Promised Land. It had to be Joshua. See, Moses gave us the law, and the law can never lead us into our Promised Land. But
that's right.
Joshua, that's another name, Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Yeshua mm-hmm. is Jesus. Mm-hmm. Joshua is the name for Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son is the only one who can take us into the Promised Land.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, this has made my day, Kimberly. It really has. I'm so appreciative of you coming, and we can hear the sawing in the background and all of that going on. God has really blessed you with such wisdom and a teachability that people grasp hold of. So thank you so much for being with us today. I love you. We all love you. God bless you.
Thank you. And we just say to all of you out there, take joy and take love.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.